here on No Nonsense Nutrition, we're all about the educational piece. You know, that's what I've been doing in the almost 26 years that I've been in practice here. In April, it'll be 26 years. Well, I opened up the Sarasota Herald, and, you know, the Sarasota Herald has gotten so thin I can read the New York Times through it. But I tell you, they still post some things from other newspapers often that are interesting. And one of the things that really got to me this last week when I opened up that health section that shows up on Tuesdays was the article about America having a pizza problem. Well, I think it's really timely because yesterday on Super Bowl Sunday, wow, did you catch that interception? Yeah, he sure did catch that interception. Super Bowl Sunday is the biggest pizza eating day of the year in America. And actually, the whole week of Super Bowl is the biggest pizza eating time of the year. So these 3 billion pizzas, 3 billion, that's billion with a B, these 3 billion pizzas that the United States eats every year, more than half of what's eaten in the whole world, by the way, it all comes to roost yesterday on Super Bowl Sunday. So when the University of Chicago released this study, and George Washington University released their study about how much pizza American kids are eating, I was kind of stunned. Because they took the information from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which those of us in the business know as NAHANES, and it tracks the diet of 11,000 children and teenagers. And what they found out was it is the second biggest source of calories in the diet of American children after grain desserts like cookies and cakes. And cookies and cakes. It's unbelievable. 20% of kids eat pizza on a daily basis. And on the days that kids eat pizza, they eat 400, 500, and 600 calories of pizza, which is a really lot for a single meal for a little kid. Because they don't balance out the pizza slices with salads and vegetables and other nutritional foodstuffs. So they have high amounts of saturated fat, high amounts of sodium, but moreover, high amounts of calories on the day. When you eat a lot of extra calories and you don't compensate for it some other way, you're going to have weight gain. And we can certainly see that the kids in America are getting bigger. And remember, if you're a 10-year-old and you're overweight, you're likely to be overweight for the rest of your life. Well, it's not just all about kids. It's about us sort of grown-ups, too. And I say sort of grown-ups because, you know, you don't get your grown-up badge until you eat for the right reason. And eat for the right reason means you eat to be nourished, not to be entertained. And unfortunately, a lot of the suggestions for the snackies at Super Bowl Sunday were about being entertained. But since America is wailing through this 100 acres of pizza every day, do you love that stat? 100 acres of pizza every day. 94% of Americans eat pizza. I guess the other 6% live in a cave somewhere. And 93% eat it at least once a month. We average darn near a slice every week. Every American in the country, 46 slices a year. That's the latest news on this. Well, I like pizza. And I might have it maybe 4 times a year. Because I eat gluten-free pizza. And so I buy one of them gluten-free ones in a box and doctor it up the way that I want it. At least I don't live in Japan where the favorite is squid pizza. Mmm, yum. But since pizza is 10% of all food service, you know, that's really a mind blower to me. In fact, it's 17% of all restaurants. 17%. More often than 1 out of 6 restaurants in America is a pizza restaurant. So let's look at pizza and let's look at, you know, what the good, the bad, and the ugly is, because unfortunately, I know you want to stick your fingers in your ears because you don't want to hear about how pizza might be bad for you. Well, pizza can be really good for you. Because start with tomatoes. I mean, when you cook down tomatoes and you make tomato sauce, you actually concentrate the nutrients in it. So tomato sauce is healthier than tomatoes are, simply because of the concentration. And it's not just the lycopene. The lycopene is the big one. That's the pigment that shows up. You've heard of beta carotene, and you've been listening to No Nonsense Nutrition. You've heard of alpha carotene and lutein and zeaxanthin. And of course, I know they all roll right off your tongue. But lycopene, that coloring agent that's in a pink grapefruit, it's in a guava, it's in a little bit of it in a papaya, it's in a watermelon. That lycopene is concentrated in tomatoes, and anybody who's ever made tomato sauce knows you start out with a great big pot of tomatoes and the size of a laundry basket, and you boil it down, and you end up with a quart of tomato sauce. It really concentrates it. And in concentrating it, you release the nutrients. You know, botanically, tomatoes are a fruit. They're not really a vegetable, but that's a little secret we'll keep among ourselves. But when you cook it down, you concentrate those flavors. And then when you add those lovely spices like garlic and basil and oregano, and it's just delicious. And so we know that men that eat 2 servings of cooked tomatoes every week, and yes, the tomato on your sandwich counts and the tomato on your salad counts, but it's the cooked tomatoes that really count because we concentrate these nutrients, not just lycopene, but other things, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, a whole bunch of B vitamins, iron. I mean, there's all kinds of things in a tomato. Men who eat 2 servings of cooked tomatoes a week had a 36% reduction in prostate cancer when we measured them against men who didn't eat cooked tomatoes. That's astounding. And we saw reductions in other cancers as well. So when I think of pizza, the first thing that I think of is the tomato sauce. Because to me, all the white pizzas and all the other, you know, prissy fancy pizzas that are out there today, to me, it's tomato sauce. And it's tomato sauce with cheese, and usually that's mozzie, that's mozzarella cheese. And, you know, in America, we use part skim milk to make the mozzarella cheese, so we end up with something that's got, you know, 6 grams of protein in an ounce and, you know, some pretty good profiles of nutrients in it as well. Now, personally, I like really sharp cheeses. I like aged sharp cheeses. But for pizza, mozzie has that nice base to it that then when you put your toppings on, those magical toppings, you get that combination with the thin crust, because that's what most Americans prefer. 2/3 of Americans want that thin crust pizza. They're not interested in deep dish. They're not interested in thick crust. They're interested in that thin crust pizza. Well, that thin crust pizza is one of the first places that we can go wrong. We can go so wrong. Because we're starting out with enriched flour, and what a joke that word is, enriched flour. Great, we take out 26 things, we put back 9. Hello. White flour and water make paste. And that's what it ends up in your belly. And so people say, well, have a whole wheat pizza because that has a lot of fiber. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you could just put the tomato sauce on a piece of cardboard. But there's all sorts of other things that you could use as a base for pizza. But the reason that I get worried about it is because of what the pizza restaurants do to the dough. You have to remember that big agriculture and big food are the triplet, part of the triplet children that include big pharma, and they all come out of big chemistry. So the nature of adding partially hydrogenated oils and, you know, genetically modified soybean oil and butylated hydroxytoluene and sodium nitrate and artificial colors and caramel color. Oh, let's heat up some ammonia and sulfites and do it under pressure, and let's put that in the pizza so it turns a nice color brown. Yeah, it's pretty rude. And if most people knew all of what was in a pizza, they might change their mind about eating pizza. Simply because of the fact that there are a lot of toxic chemicals that are in pizza, starting right away from the crust. And so I saw last night in one of the Super Bowl ads, there was Papa John standing there with the big old handsome smile on his face saying, better ingredients, better pizza. You know, that's part of their tagline. But, you know, when you call them up and you say, could you tell me what's in your pizza? Well, they won't. And not only they won't, but the majority of the chain operations totally refuse to give you information about what is in their pizza. California Pizza Kitchen, I remember when it first showed up over in Tampa, and I was really delighted that it showed up because they used, back when I was a gluten eater, they used to have a barbecued chicken pizza that I thought was fabulous. But you call California Pizza Kitchen up and ask them to share the information on their ingredients, and the only thing that they'll tell you is they use tomato sauce and pepperoni and like that. They won't give you the ingredients. But the ingredients are what matter. And so when we think about the toxic hidden ingredients that show up in these pizzas. Yeah, I know you didn't think about it and you don't really want to think about it because it's just really easy on Saturday to call up one of them takeout joints. And it doesn't matter whether it's Papa John's or Little Caesar or Pizza Hut or Domino's or your local pizzeria and order up that easy dinner. Hey, I know it's cheap. And, of course, it's perfect for breakfast as a leftover. At least 40-plus percent of Americans think it's a perfect breakfast food. But the additives that I'm talking about are not just additives in pizza. They're additives in a lot of things. So if you happen to be one of the 6% of people who never eat pizza, you still want to listen to this no-nonsense nutrition show because you're going to find out about some of the things that are troublesome that show up in these fast foods. You know, when Melanie Warner wrote the book Pandora's Lunchbox, and, you know, it caused a little bit of a stir last year when that book was released, and it, you know, got a hold of some proprietary information about what gets put in things. You know, you heard last year about Subway putting the plastic that was used to make yoga mats into their bread to keep it fresh longer. And as it was a result of the pressure from the public that they removed that ingredient. Well, one of the things that restaurants don't want to do is they don't want to put MSG on their ingredient statement. Because monosodium glutamate is one of the things that a lot of people are hip to. And they got hip to it because it was called Chinese food syndrome. Some people would eat at a Chinese restaurant and they would get a tingly tongue or a numb mouth or a headache or get itchy or get racy heartbeats or all sorts of other things. And so monosodium glutamate, which occurs naturally in food, is a flavor enhancer. Now, why do you use a flavor enhancer? Because you can take poor quality ingredients and make you want them. Well, because the restaurants were going to get a bad rap if people found out there was MSG in their food, they decided that they would use the FDA loophole to sneak processed free glutamic acid into the food, which has the same effect as MSG, and they don't have to warn you. So there's lots of forms of free glutamic acid, and these things are neurotransmitters. And so when we talk about excitotoxins are chemicals that stimulate your brain, and so they make you want more. So we take something like hydrolyzed soy protein. Hey, hydrolyzed soy protein sounds pretty benign, but it's the main component of MSG. It can deceive you into believing that there's no MSG in the product. And why is that troublesome? Because MSG affects your pancreas. Now, a lot of people don't know much about your pancreas. It looks kind of like a squash sausage, and it sits over there on the left side of your stomach, below your left rib cage. And your pancreas is a really miraculous organ because it secretes hormones like insulin, and it secretes enzymes that help you to digest your food. Proteases to digest protein, lipases to digest fats, and amylases to digest starch. So when the bolus, the mash of food, leaves your stomach, after it's hung out in your stomach for 2 to 4 hours, depending on what the contents are, and the stomach has mishmollied it all up and mixed it in with the stomach acid, when that food leaves via the pyloric valve into the duodenum isn't really a separate organ, it's just the top of your small intestine, and that signals the pancreas to squirt its whole payload of enzymes. Well, it turns out when we're talking about monosodium glutamate that there are glutamate receptors in the pancreas. And so the pancreas secretes insulin in response to that. It doesn't just secrete insulin in response to sugar. It secretes insulin in response to things that contain glutamate. Well, it turns out that monosodium glutamate will trigger a threefold increase, 300% increase in the secretion of insulin. Well, that's trouble. And that's big trouble. Because insulin is a storage hormone. Insulin is not just there to get the glucose into your cell. It's a key in a lock situation. You know, you put the insulin in the lock and you open up the cell, metaphorically speaking, to get the sugar inside. But when you have too much insulin, we scavenge all the sugar out of the bloodstream pretty quickly. And when we do that, your blood sugar starts to drop, and maybe you start yawning, and maybe you get heavy-lidded. You've got friends and family that sit there at the dinner table, and the second that they finish, they're ready to nod off. A lot of times, they create hyperinsulinemia. Hyperinsulinemia, too much insulin. Hyperinsulinemia is somewhere between hypoglycemia is too low of a blood sugar, and diabetes, where we don't produce insulin anymore, or another form of diabetes where the body becomes insulin resistant. It's had so much insulin thrown at it for so long that it doesn't respond to the signaling anymore. So I've got hypoglycemia, I've got hyperinsulinemia, I've got diabetes, but I've got a situation where when you stimulate all this insulin, it makes you want to eat more. But there's lots of hidden names for MSG. Monosopotassium glutamate, glutamic acid, vegetable protein extract, calcium caseinate, soy protein concentrate, soy protein isolate, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, hydrolyzed plant protein, autolyzed plant protein, sodium caseinate, magnesium glutamate, whey protein isolate, textured protein, yeast extract, yeast food, yeast nutrient, autolyzed yeast, hydrolyzed protein, monoammonium glutamate, natrium glutamate, pretty much anything that's hydrolyzed or autolyzed. Hydrolyzed just means we break it down. We break it down into water solution. Hydro, water, lyzed, break. We can get free glutamate in varying amounts from natural flavors, from dough conditioners, from even carrageenan and bouillon, from soy sauce, from smoke flavoring, barley malt, maltodextrin, all kinds of stocks and broths. So no, we're not going to avoid MSG completely. Not when we're having things that have ingredients in them. Remember I've said before, if a third grader can't pronounce it, you shouldn't put it in your mouth. You look at the number of ingredients that are on some of these foods, it is a mind blower. Well, when you look for the hidden MSG in pizza, it doesn't take long to find it as modified food starch and flavors, maltodextrin, hydrolyzed corn gluten, yeast extract, autolyzed yeast extract, disodium, inosinate, guanylate, I mean, do you remember Grandma being in the backyard picking this year's harvest of disodium inosinate guanylate? Of course I'm making a joke out of it, because you can't be serious when you're talking about it. And those are just the ingredients in Domino's pizza. The thing that really blew my mind as I was researching this particular show was that Papa John's beef that they put on their pizza had corn syrup, artificial flavorings, maltodextrin, another sugar, smoke grill flavor, and get this one, beef flavor. We put beef flavor in the beef. Hello. Oh, don't forget the food starch and the cellulose. And cellulose is, you know, the refined version of sawdust. Yeah, sawdust. So when we get these toxic hidden MSG ingredients, what happens is that it makes us want to eat more, because it spikes our insulin and then our blood sugar crashes. And so, you know, we're already dealing with a weighted deck here, because the average slice of pizza has at least 300 calories a slice. I mean, you can get up there. Pizza Hut's Meat Lover Pizza had 470 calories a slice. There was 3,760 calories in one pizza pie. And I had a client tell me recently that she ate one of these Meat Lover's pizzas. She ate half of it for lunch. She ate the other half for dinner. 3,760 calories in one day. But you've heard here on No Nonsense Nutrition a lot of talk about these genetically modified foods. And you know now that of the five major genetically modified crops of soybeans and corn, of canola, of sugar beets, and cotton, where we get cottonseed oil, soybean oil, likely genetically modified, is in virtually everything. Soybean oil is the oil of choice for most pizza restaurants. It's in the dough, it's in the pizza sauces, it's in the dipping, you know, various dipping things. But, you know, you can even go one worse than genetically modified soybean oil. You can go to partially hydrogenated oils. You know, even our very slow to pick up their clues, FDA is saying the partially hydrogenated oils, or what we call trans fats, are the worst of the worst. You know, when you take this cheap vegetable oil and you put it in these 50,000-gallon tanks and you run high-pressure hydrogen in there so that you can partially saturate it, when you say the word trans fat, in chemistry we actually use the word cis, C-I-S, so it's cis fats, not trans fats. And what that means is where the hydrogen hooks onto the arm, the bond of the fat, it hooks on kind of cattywampus. It's tilted, if you will. And you say, well, what difference does that make? Remember, the foundational law of chemistry is if you change the shape of a molecule, you change the function of a molecule. So when Papa John's puts partially hydrogenated oils in their dipping sauce, when Pizza Hut and Domino's uses that in their oils and in their sauce, then you be getting some nasty, nasty things. It's the major ingredient in the pizzas of the 12 major chains that exist here in the United States. There's nobody, no reason whatsoever for anybody to be using partially hydrogenated oils. You know, when the FDA wakes up and says that it's not safe to eat any of these foods, when the Center for Disease Control estimates that it could cause up to 20,000 heart attacks every year, then, you know, it scares me when we're going to find it in these pizzas, and we're feeding it to kids, and we're feeding it to kids at 400 to 600 calories at a serving, about half of which is that oil. BHT and BHA. BHT, butylated hydroxytoluene. I know you've got a bottle of it somewhere in your cabinet. No, not hardly. Because you don't get it unless you're big food and you're using big chemistry to make big food. BHT is used in embalming fluid. It's used to fuel jets. It's toxic to your organs. It's been linked to cancer. And it was found in the pepperoni on every ingredient list. Last night there was a special on one of the education channels about how you make pizza. It was just a coincidence, because I had already had the show planned. And they showed the making of pepperoni. Well, you know, Bismarck said men should never witness the making of laws or sausages. And I would tell you, after having watched this, I wished I hadn't. Pepperoni is the most popular topping that exists on a pizza. And you say, well, how could that be bad? Well, I know vegetarians who've eaten pepperoni. And 60%+ of it is pork meat. And about 18% of it, 16 or 18% of it is beef. And then the last 20% of it is pork fat exclusively. Just big old hunks of pork fat that get whipped into there. And then, of course, they put their special ingredients. That's why this pepperoni is different from that pepperoni, is because they put their basil and their garlic and their paprika and their, you know, various spices, etc., in there. But they also put BHD. And those of you that are sensitive to yeast, those of you that are sensitive to mold, you want to stay as far away from pepperoni as you possibly can, because the bacteria is what alters the flavor and cures the pepperoni. And then the mold on the outside keeps it from drying up. But, you know, this is big trouble for individuals who have yeast and mold sensitivities. Now, in the one that they showed last night, they didn't acknowledge whether they put any artificial colors in there. They had lots of coloring from the paprika alone. But caramel color and artificial colors are commonly used, not just in the pepperoni, but in the crust. I don't know of it being used in any of the sauces. But when you think about caramel color isn't just burnt sugar. You take sulfites, you put them in a pressure cooker, and then you heat ammonia with it. And that's how you get caramel color. And some of them add it to the dough in order to make sure that it's nice and crispy brown. Yeah, it's rude, isn't it? So what's a girl to do? If it was Super Bowl Sunday and you absolutely positively wanted to have a pizza, who are you going to call? Well, you're going to get creative, because you've got an opportunity to take anything from a piece of toast to a tortilla to a lavash to a pita to an English muffin and use that as your base. Now, I'm hoping you're buying organic bread, and I'm hoping you're, you know, that all of those ingredients are quality ingredients. But a tortilla is a great staging. No, it's not puffed up with yeast like regular pizza dough. And again, you can buy some of those, you know, organic pizzas in the frozen compartment at the health food store, and you can start from there. I even have a client that uses a portobello mushroom as the base for her pizza. Yeah, she takes the big portobello mushroom, takes the stem off of it, and then dresses it in the same way that you would dress any other pizza. But using that foundation, this may be something you can even do in a toaster oven. And you say, Eve, well, it's not the same as if I call up takeout. Well, remember, every bite of food you take either makes you more alive or more dead. You pick. So now we're going to put the sauce on it. And thank you, Derek, for my homemade tomato sauce. It was delicious. I had it with my poached egg yesterday. But, you know, making sauce, if you've got a ton of tomatoes that came out of your garden and you want to cook it down and make your own sauce, well, baby, have at it. But if you're going to buy sauce out of a bottle, please pay attention to one thing. Pay attention to the amount of sodium that's in there. I can look at one jar of pizza sauce or even tomato sauce where it'll have 75 milligrams of sodium in a couple of tablespoons. And then I can pick up a jar right next to it, and it has 160 milligrams of sodium in a couple of tablespoons. The amount of sodium that's in tomato sauce and pizza sauce can vary by 300% easily. So do look at that one factoid, even if you don't look at anything else, and even if you're not making your own tomato sauce. Because I don't have a big enough garden to have enough tomatoes to make tomato sauce any longer. I have enough tomatoes to put in a salad, but we'll stop there. You can even put sliced tomatoes on the top of your pizza. And for some of you that aren't purists, you could use salsa. For that matter, you could even use pesto. You could use tapenade. you know, a mushroom tapenade or an olive tapenade on top of that tortilla as a start of your pizza. I even know somebody who does it with refried beans. For that matter, it can be barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce is mostly tomato sauce anyway. And then you've got something sweet and something sour. You play, you know, molasses against vinegar or some sort of combination that is what makes pizza sauce turn into barbecue sauce. But it's the toppings. Oh, yes, it's the toppings. Well, the first topping is the cheese. And the mozzarella cheese is the purest form. And you remember when I'm endorsing organics when it comes to dairy products, it's because over 90% of the cows in the state of Florida are given bovine growth hormone every 2 weeks. They shoot the cows up. Yes, they stick a needle in them with bovine growth hormone 26 times a year. Because if you give the cow bovine growth hormone, they put out more milk. And when they put out more milk, they get more infections in their teats. And as a result, those cows are given more antibiotics. Furthermore, what the cows are being fed, if it's not organic cheese, is genetically modified corn. So we're ending up with the glyphosate, which is the Roundup, showing up in the corn that the cows are eating, which is altering the gut flora of the cows. And you see now why I'm recommending they eat organically, but especially organic dairy products. I've said before, if you only bought one organic food, buy organic butter. Butter is the resource that the federal government uses to measure how much pesticide your kid gets exposed to because there's so freaking much pesticide in butter. So, yeah, I know it's $5 or $6 a pound, but please buy organic butter and buy organic cheese. Because once we concentrate, once you make the curds and then separate the curds in the whey, you're concentrating some of these nutrients that are in the milk. And as a result, you're also concentrating any pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, antibiotics, etc. that are also there. But you don't just have to use Mozzie on your pizza. You can use goat cheese. Goat cheese has a really nice tang to it. You could use cottage cheese or ricotta cheese. You know, it's nice to take those, put them in a coffee filter and, you know, drain some more of the whey out so they get a little bit drier, but they'll work on a pizza. Some people like Parmesan or even feta. People that don't want to eat dairy products, they use tofu cheese or rice cheese. All of those things can be done as your cheese on your pizza. But then we get to the other toppings. You know, there's even turkey pepperoni and chicken sausage. I really like the chicken sausage. They come in about a half a dozen flavors, and you can cut them up into little quarter-inch coins and fry them and then put them on top of the pizza. But all kinds of veggies. I specifically like arugula and spinach and onion and olive and sun-dried tomatoes and mushrooms and artichokes and asparagus. So what I would do is I would get one of those frozen gluten-free pizzas, and I would saute some onions and mushrooms together and then put some kind of greens in it, whatever I had. I always keep a bag of organic chopped spinach because I use it with my eggs, or my husband cooks it with my eggs. Thank you, husband. 3 or 4 times a week. And so I'll take that sautéed onion and sautéed mushrooms together and throw that handful of frozen organic spinach in it. Or if I've got arugula, which I happen to have in the refrigerator right now, I might throw that in there. And then take those chicken sausages that I'd fried and put them on top. And yeah, baby, you can make a healthier pizza. You can use leaner meat. You can use higher quality ingredients. You can go for the protein, you know, put chicken on it, put turkey on it, put, you know, whatever it is that you choose. I mean, there are people that eat anchovies on their pizza and people who eat shrimp on their pizza. But mind the portions. The thing that we have to do is mind the portions. You're going to get a pizza, don't get it sliced. Slice it yourself and make the portions smaller. Because if the average piece of pizza has 300 to 500 calories a slice, and I found a whole bunch of them when I was researching yesterday. There were 600 calories in a slice. little partially hydrogenated soybean oil, some modified food starch, and of course sodium aluminum phosphate and artificial color. Well, how does it get better than that? You can change all of that. You can change all of that by choosing well. You can change all of that by putting more veggies and protein on your pizza. You can change all of that by having a salad with it. I mean, even if you ordered from one of these joints, and there are places that do have organic pizza. There are places that are using higher quality ingredients. They do exist, but they don't exist in very big numbers. And especially not when you're looking at the main chains that are out there. The thing that was really a surprise to me was how resistant they were to disclose their ingredient information. Little Caesars completely refused to disclose ingredient information, as did California Pizza Kitchen. Just, they wouldn't give you any information. So even if you went to their headquarters, they wouldn't give you information. I found that pretty reprehensible. When we have individuals that have allergies, when we have individuals that have sensitivities to these various toppings, why they wouldn't reveal it. But, you know, I've oftentimes told individuals when they go to the grocery store to pick up a container of Cool Whip and read the ingredients because there's no food in it. Well, when you read the ingredients on some of these pizzas, it's not just that there's no food in it. It's that there's too much other things in it. You know, when you look at disodium 5 inosinate and disodium 5 guanylate and disodium 5 ribonucleotides on a label, ooh, enzyme modified, ooh, it's pretty scary. You can find ways to eat real food. You know, it doesn't take a PhD to tell the difference between a potato and a Pringle. It doesn't take a background in biochemistry to tell the difference between a chicken and a chicken nugget. And so when we start looking at these toxic ingredients, the hydrolyzed corn and the modified starches and the natural flavors and the autolyzed yeast extract, you know, it's not just about MSG. It's about that genetically modified soybean oil. It's about sodium nitrate. You know, it's added to meat in order to keep the hot dogs nice and pink. And nitrosamines are cancer causers. And that shows up in the pepperoni and the ham and the bacon and the sausage toppings. When we look at the asthma and allergies that America suffers from, and people use petroleum-based colors as artificial colors. I had a client recently that reacted to a banana pepper. And when we looked at the label, it was full of artificial color. Yellow dye number 5. When we look at all of these ingredients showing up, it doesn't seem like these restaurants are particularly interested in us being nourished. These are really, really cheap ingredients. And that's how you take a cheap ingredient and turn it into something expensive to sell. So are you wondering now about your favorite pizza place? Well, you know, sticking to a veggie pizza is one place to start. Even without cheese, but, you know, pizza's not pizza without cheese. Asking them to read the complete ingredients and the sauce and the dough, freaking good luck. I sure didn't get anywhere. That genetically modified soybean oil, just ask them if they use soybean oil and in what menu items. Can they make a pizza without it? The answer is probably not. You can ask them if any of their ingredients are genetically modified. What you're going to find out is a whole lot of people don't have a clue. Garlic oils and shake-on seasonings, you know, butter sauces and specialty oils and seasoning mixes that gets used, they don't know what's in them. Asking somebody whether they use high fructose corn syrup or other sweeteners in their sauces and doughs. Remember, 55% of all the sugar used in America now is coming from genetically modified sugar beets. Did they put cellulose in their cheese? Oh, boy, nothing like a good helping of sawdust to make your cheese be cheese. All you have to do is ask, is it 100% real cheese? Or is it a pre-shredded bag of cheese that has an ingredient list? On that ingredient list, you'll likely find cellulose, some preservatives, some flavors, some colors. If they won't tell you what's in the food, don't eat there. You know, most customers are not going to demand any information about what's on the food. I mean, that's what they're counting on. They're counting on the average customer is not going to ask. I loved it when I went onto Papa John's website and they said their cheese is crafted from 100% mozzarella and high quality milk by one of America's finest cheese producers. But it wasn't 100% cheese. It was crafted from 100% mozzarella. Yeah, better ingredients. My foot. When you get wood pulp and modified food starch, it ain't cheese anymore. So there are some pizza places. There's one chain that started in Florida called Truly Organic Pizza that's starting to pop up. And my favorite homemade pizza recipe and up in Charlotte, North Carolina, a place called Pure Pizza. I mean, some of them exist. Maybe you're the one that's going to open up the great Sarasota pizza restaurant that's actually going to use real food in it and get the benefit of that tomato sauce and get the benefit of that good protein, low-fat, high-quality protein that's going to come from mozzarella that's well-prepared. And then you're going to put enough toppings on there that you're going to make it into a healthy meal, and you're going to serve it with a salad, and you're going to keep the slices small. And you hear it all? But as long as it's the second biggest source of calories for our kids, and the first biggest source of calories is grain-based desserts. What the heck are we feeding our children? What sort of future are we making for a child that's obese? So given how much the country loves pizza, what can we do? Well, we can do a lot. And I'm hoping you will. I want you to enjoy your pizza. But I want you to enjoy a pizza that's healthy. That's the challenge. You're listening to No Nonsense Nutrition. I'm Eve Prang-Plues. I'm your licensed nutrition counselor and Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner.